Good morning and welcome to this special radio call-in support, Seeing with the Eyes of Love. I'm just going to bring Sherry live. Good morning, everybody. Sherry?
Yes, hello. Thank you, it worked.
I know, it did. It's always a miracle.
It is. It's always one of life's miracles when technology comes through in the crunch.
Absolutely. Yes, it does. It's always a moment of palpitation. Anyway,
yes.
So thank you for doing this. And I wanted to say a little bit about why we're doing this. We've received many requests from Sangha about supporting practice at this point of time, and many people are struggling. And given the circumstances, what we've all been looking at is what do we do, or how do we stay true to what we are? How do we come from center? And so this call-in radio show is designed to go from today through the end of the year, every day, every weekday. And what we're going to be looking at is how to come back to center, how to see with the eyes of love. And we will invite people to join the show like they would at any radio show by pressing *6, and then have a chance to look at what it is that they're seeing, but with that focus of how do we come to center. And so the format we thought we would use is to read a passage, which is designed hopefully to bring us to center, talk about it, and then open up the lines.
Mm-hmm.
Would you want to add something to that, Sherry, before we move forward with the particular passage?
No, I don't think so, except, this is something we've actually wanted to do for a long time, right, because it's something you and I do with great regularity on a daily basis whenever we can, because it's how we keep stay inspired about the many kinds of things that are happening in practice. And what I mean by that is musings articles and radio shows and retreats and workshops and that are all attempts for us to offer something to folks that will assist in that coming back to center and deepening practice and keeping the focus on practice. So we've wanted actually to include other folks in this for a long time, and we just haven't had a chance to do that because we've been doing other things, and now this feels like a golden opportunity to start that, start the day with a focus on the unconditional, on what we choose, and then fold that into practice such that as we go through our day, that's something to come back to, and maybe we jot down the quote or record it and return to that during the day, and it'll assist us, we hope, in staying focused and deepening our practice.
And I would also add to that, right, Jerry, that the focus has been chosen very deliberately, right, seeing with the eyes of love. And
yes,
as we move through what we're looking at, the importance of that will hopefully be articulated through the quotes that we
yes.
choose, through the reasons we make that choice, through people's experience as they look at
yes.
that process. So mm-hmm. without further ado, let me read the first passage, and then
all right. Thank you.
Let's look at it. And the first quote to kick this off is, "The Buddha told his disciples, just as a mother with her own life protects her child, her only child, from harm, so let your love flow outward to the universe, a limitless love without hatred or enmity." Shall I read it
mm-hmm.
again?
Yes, please.
The Buddha told his disciples, just as a mother with her own life protects her child, her only child, from harm, so let your love flow outward to the universe, a limitless love without hatred or enmity.
Mm-hmm. sometimes that's that feels like an easy, fairly easy thing to do. And sometimes we're aware of how really difficult it can be.
Yes.
So do you have somebody who would like to join us? Oh, excuse me. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that the interesting part for me about that in terms of protection is how to protect from love instead of fear, which is where the hatred arises from. And that whole pointing to it as a process, because we can't just achieve that as a given. It's something that we have to work with that removes the barriers to love so that the protection
yes.
can come from love, not from hatred.
Yes. Yeah.
You know,
and that's what awareness practice
extraordinary.
Is.
Yeah. Well, and that mm-hmm. sense of it's not just to my child, everything in the universe requires a measure of removing a sense of the personal, which is also such a process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Such a very difficult, challenging process.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, so here's the first caller.
All right, thank you.
First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Ashwini. This is Sherry in San Francisco.
Hey, Sherry.
Hey, Sherry.
Hi. I'm so grateful that you're doing these calls. Even just the announcement, just the announcement of it, felt like a healing. And I'm just feeling so grateful to be able to just show up and be in this conversation with you guys.
Right. Well, Sherry, if I may, I mean, that's it, right? One of the things that we notice in practice is egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, working around the clock when we're awake and when we're sleeping to isolate us.
Yeah.
Right? To make us believe in that illusion of separation. And that somehow we're in danger and we're alone, and the only thing we have to support us is that voice in the head. And so, yes, anytime we can reach out and, you know, that image that Ram Dass, I think, was the first who talked about all of us holding hands, anytime we can move into that experience, the world is a happier, friendlier place because we're here instead of lost in that negative conversation in the head.
Yes, yes. And I, you know, more than ever, I mean, I'm always so grateful for our sangha and our practice, but I've been noticing, like, over the last, you know, number of days that it's like, you know, there's been this wonderful turning of our attention to ending suffering for all. I mean, I know that that's always been there, but I guess for me it feels like it's landed in such a new way over the last number of months that it's not ending suffering for this being only, right? I'm included.
Right.
And
yes.
I noticed like that this huge impact of that's been at the forefront of my mind, you know, these last number of days. And it's exactly like that beautiful quote you just read, that there is no separation. And I think I've told you guys this before, that every year on my birthday, I write letters to strangers, people who are grieving or lost or lonely. And I've been particularly aware over the last number of days as I've been, because I do, you know, I turn 52, so 52 letters in 52 days to 52 strangers. And I noticed when I was writing these letters, I don't know who they voted for. I don't know what their race or their religion or, you know, I don't know anything about them, except that someone's mm-hmm. told me that they're suffering. And it's been so extra amazing, you know, to have that additional practice, because it just, for me, it's like, I love these people. And I think
yes.
that's what I want to bring to everyone. That's what I want to bring
yes.
to everyone.
Yes, yes, yes. You know, I've thought so often recently about the what Jesus supposedly said on the cross, forgive them for they know not what they do. And how important it is for us to phrase that, forgive us for we know not what we do.
Right? And what you're talking about is the bridging of that. The recognition that what divides us it is a conversation in our heads. And that what brings us together is the awareness that we all struggle with the same, as Ashwini started us out with, the same fears that fuel the hatred and the divisions and the blaming and the fault-finding and all of those kinds of things. It exists inside our own heads, and then it gets played out on this very large stage. When we don't have those... argues for the privileged environment, doesn't it? When we don't know anything except this is another human being who's struggling, the love comes so quickly and easily.
Yes, yes, and that just reminded me, my mom said something to me. She lives in Ohio, which, you know, there's a lot of anger and hatred that she's been hearing, but she said something. She was in line at the grocery store, and she said she was looking around, and she loved that she didn't know anything about any of these people, and she could just smile at them and just like, and it's exactly what you're saying. When we don't have that conversation, we just love one another. I mean, she was like, I just looked around and they were just people getting their groceries. You know, they weren't the other side.
Right. And probably all of them, every one of us struggling in exactly the same way, even though we might talk about it in different ways.
Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love what you just said. And that, to me, it really hit me, too. It's like, you know, the fear, you know, the fear is the fear. The conversation is the conversation. And we all, you know, can go to that place just as well as we can all just go to the love for one another.
Yes. Yes. And that's the choice, isn't it, Sherry? That's exactly the point of what Ashwini and I, when we came up with this little theme, that was... That was it, right? That nothing has changed in that sense. The requirements are still exactly the same. The fear is the fear. The egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is what it is. And our job is to choose the unconditional, period.
Yes. Oh, I'm going to hop off so other people can join in. But thank you.
All right.
What a beautiful way to start the week. Thank you. Deepika Show.
Thank you. Gosh, Ashwini, you have thoughts?
Next caller. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourselves?
Hi.
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Yes, are you? Who's this?
Hold on 1 second.
Sorry about that. Wow. This is Brad in Annapolis. How you doing?
I'm good. And you, Brad?
I'm hanging in there as well as I can.
All right.
What I wanted to notice with the process is that there is a substantial amount of fear in terms of how things are changing. And then I'm also noticing that obviously that fear leads into all of the other bad things you're talking about. But, you know, my worry and fear is, it's like, well, you know, none of this is guaranteed. This could be the end of the world as we know it in terms of my project. Obviously, I'm projecting onto the person who's been elected, but it's like this could be it in terms of temperament of the person that's in there. That kind of freaks me out a little bit, I suppose. I don't mean to just cut right to the chase, but I guess at my deepest level, that's what comes up for me. That's what I hear.
Yes, yes, absolutely, which is, I think, the fear that fuels the hatred, whatever the object of fear is.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
To an extent. Could you explain a little further?
Well, yeah. It's, there are people who want to get rid of entire groups of people because we can't trust what those people will do.
Right.
And so for us, we could, you know, the very privileged who have had our world the way, for the most part, the way we would choose for it to be for a long time, that was just our world. That was not right. Everybody's world. And so the people who have been living in fear and struggling probably not to let that turn into hatred, those folks have been there all along. Right? So when yeah. we talk about the end of the world as we know it, that's just our world. That's not the world. One of the things that we talk about regularly, and I wish I knew the statistics now, but at one point I heard that like 75% of the world doesn't have enough to eat.
Oh, I know. I was referring to something like nuclear holocaust. Not to get
well,
that more of it.
Well,
but,
Brad,
that's a possibility, you know.
Yes, but it's always been a possibility.
Good point.
And what we have the chance to do, and again, this is what makes this like every other day. Right. What we've always had a chance to do in awareness practice is to choose what we want to choose for our lives, regardless of circumstances. It's probably the main thing that drew me to Buddhism, is that it doesn't talk about, the Buddha didn't teach, you know, just hang in and hope for happy times and then get to the end of your life and say thank you and go out with a smile. That was not what he taught.
Right.
And so I've never approached it that way, that as long as I'm comfortable, the world is as it should be.
Right. Well, I look at it as an opportunity to not take one moment for granted.
Exactly. And I would add to that, to be what you want for the world in each moment.
Exactly.
That's the real opportunity that we have. Because, yes, nuclear holocaust has been a possibility. I mean, talk to people. Well, you can't because they ceased to exist in Hiroshima or Nagasaki.
Yeah.
One day here and then in a moment obliterated. So those possibilities have always existed. How do we want to be in the moment? And which, to me, makes this an incredible spiritual opportunity for an awful lot of folks who, that forgive us for we know not what we do, who were content to lead very egocentric, selfish lives because it was easy to do so, and we could gripe about things like traffic, or the store not having something in stock that I want after I made that trip. You know, that kind of focus for us and losing sight of the fact that we are probably the people most in a position to attempt to be in the world the way we want the world to be. Because life is right now,
pretty darn
easy for most of us.
Yeah,
it is.
And I didn't want to bring up the worst case scenario, but if I entertain it, that's where it can go. So
that's right. You know, that's right, and that's why we want to say. That's right. That's why we want to say. Yep, that certainly is possible. It was possible 2 weeks ago. It was possible a year ago. It was possible, and it's just as possible now. It's no more certain. It's no more guaranteed. But regardless, how do we want to be in every moment where we're able to draw breath?
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I concur.
Yeah.
Amen.
All right.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Brad.
Okay. Uh-huh. You got it. Bye.
Now, Ashwini, if you want to jump in here.
Well, I'm having a technical difficulty, Sherry, so I'm just going to keep the call going till I get them resolved.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, because...
All right.
You have much wisdom to offer us on any occasion. So don't get too bogged down in technology there.
Yeah. Well, the thing that was dropping in for me when Brad.
Whoops. I just lost you.
The possibility is there regardless every day, but what we're listening to makes it more real.
Uh-huh. So the importance of really taking this as an opportunity to commit to directing the attention.
Yes. Yeah.
Because the stakes are really high now, aren't they?
Yes. The fear can be more intense.
Yes. You keep blipping in and out for me, Ashwini. I don't know if it's me or you.
That's my technology problem. We'll keep cutting out. So I don't know if you can hear me, but the place I was going to is how much easier it is to believe in the worst case scenario than in the best case scenario. And because we fall for the worst case scenario, it's more real, but how about staying with what's possible instead of.
And then you go away again. Darn. I'm going to, I don't know if I'm, if I'm hearable, but where you're going with that is really critical because where we put our attention, the quality of our lives is determined by the focus of our attention. And if that, those voices of negativity are able to take our life force, then that life force is not available to put our energy into making the kind of difference that we can make. So choosing unconditional love is not the same as I'm just going to sit and look at a blank white wall and be peaceful and happy and contented. It means finding that unconditional love and then doing what life is calling us to do under the circumstances. And we don't know what that might be.
Right. It's not useful or helpful. I can't remember the quote, which is to be a collapsed state of awareness. Right.
Uh-huh.
This time we need to be
an expanded state of awareness. Mm-hmm. Boy, you just keep going away, girl.
Yes. Well, I'm going to bring the next person online because we have one more before we continue the conversation tomorrow. I think we have time for one more.
All right. Good. Thank you.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Next.
Hi, this is Ian.
Hi, Ian.
Hi. Well, I will be brief. Last time I called open air, I went on and on, but I have my new discipline. I get excited, and it's hard to stop talking. So
I know
I'm really
the feeling, Ian. I know it very well.
Thank you. So, first of all, I'm really happy that you're doing this. And one of the things I noticed, and I'm doing the email class, and certainly in my own process, looking at projection and seeing fear being whipped up, externally by others, and also we can easily listen to our own voices. I think it's important for me to see that it's sort of the same process. We may not agree with folks on the other side, but somehow they're just sharing the exact same thing. And I think that it's hard for me to see their points of view for sure, and I don't even aspire to that. But I think it's helpful and healing to just go, wow, these people have been suffering just like I have, and maybe suffering more now because things didn't turn out how I would like them to be. And so it's increased motivation to take care of myself and also actually increased motivation to stand up for what I believe in, which is human rights and the environment. But the only way I can do that is by really looking after myself and practicing, just being aware of that. That's kind of what I've come up with the last few days. So.
Yes, huge yes. You know, in the email class, there would be an exclamation point behind that yes, right? Because it's a huge yes. If we watch ourselves have the energy siphoned off, just kind of sucked out of us by the negativity, then everything that we care about isn't supported, right? And I've heard a lot of people say this lately, that they stop taking care of themselves. They stop doing the things that support them. Well, that's always the case when that ego system grabs hold of somebody. We get identified, right? So we stop exercising, we stop meditating, we stop getting enough sleep. You know, we eat sugar and drink a bunch of coffee and all of those things that do not support the heart. It's way harder to choose love when we're in that kind of depleted condition. So that's what's so exciting about this as an opportunity, that love can accomplish a great deal. And if we do care about things that we want love to infuse with energy, then we want to take every bit of life force available to us and put it in that direction, right? So if you care about the environment, if you care about human rights, then you want all of that energy in the form of love available to bring that love to what's important to you, right? So if we know that, right? If the Buddhist quote, you know, if we have children we love, we know that we don't want to just fall off into some depression somewhere and have no one available to care for them. We know that we wouldn't want to do that, and that's exactly where we are right now. There is much to care about, as there always has been, and we need lots of love to care for it. And everybody can be included, right? We don't have to waste a second of that love on trying to figure out who we should exclude.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you. I don't have anything really to add. I just, have really found myself falling into that exactly. And thank God for practice, because I noticed, you know, so easy to go to the dark room. The first things that I wanted to quit was quit going to the gym, quit doing yoga, maybe skip meditation, skip sketching. I've committed to sketching. And I have not been drinking. I never had a big problem, but I was just like, oh, a beer would taste so good now, or, you know, why? Just like all of those things that are so bad that, you know, they're so unhelpful. And they just come up just like that, boom. And luckily, you know, because of practice in good times, I was able to go, wow, it's just the same thing. It's just karmic conditioning, just kind of grabbing hold of the fear and directing that.
Taking advantage.
Taking advantage and then really taking the energy, because it's so demoralizing. You just feel so depleted and you don't want to, you know, and so it's, wow. So so I can hear what you're saying. It's like it's not ignoring the world's problems, I think, at all. It's actually just being open to them, but then realizing, you know, we have to be together. We have to work together. We've got to find what works with common ground and not easy to do. I mean, yeah, not necessarily easy to do, but so necessary. So anyway,
I would say, Ian, it is easy to do. It really is easy to do. The hard part, as you've indicated, is what's always been hard, right? Getting past those voices, learning to redirect our attention. But as soon as we redirect our attention and we start looking for, if you decided to, and I know we're out of time, but if you decided to, work with your neighborhood, you know, maybe there are problems in the neighborhood and you decided that you wanted to address those problems, then what you're going to do is find other like-minded, like-hearted people, and you're going to start meeting. You're going to start talking to each other, and you're going to start supporting one another, and you're going to make your plan of action, and you're going to, right? And you're going to probably do fundraisers and all kinds of things that will support the work. And that's exactly where we are now, exactly where we are. To me, the project in Cantalomba is such a good model for it. You know, this group of people in this Sangha decided, yeah, we want those kids to eat. We want them to go to school. We want them to have a future. And so we all work together to make that happen. We're just going to expand it. That's all.
Well,
we just have a bigger job that we're going to do.
No, that's beautiful. That's yeah, so true. Oh, boy.
All right. Thank you,
thank
Ian.
You so much.
Get to the gym. No more beers for lunch. Get to the gym. Get to that yoga. Get out that.
Okay.
This. Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Ian.
Yes, I will. Okay. Thank you. Bye.
All right.
Bye.
All right. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you, Ian and Sherry. I think that's the end of our time. It's 9:30, and we'll pick this up tomorrow morning again. I mean, we had a large number of callers and an even larger number of callers in the queue. So hopefully we'll keep the conversation going. And perhaps
we will.
The last words were what you said to Ian, which is, it's always hard to get past the voices. That's the first place.
Darn, you keep cutting out.
It's calling us to do in order to work with the circumstances.
Yeah. Yeah, and we're going to work on technology between now and tomorrow so that we can actually hear all of what you have to say. So,
and all of what you have to say. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Ashwini. Okay. Thank you, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow.
And stay tuned, because that's what's important.
Yes.